ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Often they show their ignorance, but never do they seem timid in His presence or ashamed to let Him see how shallow and hard of understanding they are. That's our Lord. He never gets tired of our questions, that we don't understand things fully. He's patient with us and He desires to teach us. And I'm sure we've all felt that, man, I've blown it. God tells me to do something, I don't do it, I'm not listening to Him. That's it. He's ready to tear up the adoption papers or whatever. You know, God, how could God love a person like me? You know, we're a child of God as Christians. And that love that He has for us never ends, never. He never gets tired of us. He never gets tired of us asking Him questions and seeking direction from Him. Sometimes we get tired of ourselves, but not God. He doesn't get tired of us. His love is amazing. You know, Paul in Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, put it like this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? I love that. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What a question, right? Who shall? And then Paul answers it. It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate you from God? Nothing. You know, in Romans chapter 8, it opens up with no condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And how does it end? How does Romans chapter 8 end? No separation. No condemnation, no separation. His love will continue on. We are His. Newell said, our weak hearts, prone to legalism and unbelief, receive these words with great difficulty. God is for us. They have failed Him, but He is for them. They are ignorant, but He is for them. They have not yet brought forth much fruit, but He is for them. You see, no condemnation and no separation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I am so thankful for that. Who can be against us? No one, because God is for us. He'll take care of us. And His love will never let us go. How do I know that? How do I know here in the Gospel of John that Jesus isn't mad at His men? You just have to read on, because He answers Thomas and really the rest of the men who are listening. Yeah, Thomas had questions, right? I don't know the way. How do we get there, Lord? And now we'll see that Jesus has answers. Look at verse 6 here in John 14. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, think about this. If you ask the average person on the street, how do you get to heaven? Or how do you know you're going to heaven? What is the most common response? Well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I haven't killed anyone. Like, that's, you know, the bar that's set. If you don't kill anyone, you're good. You're getting in. But that's pretty much what they say. What's the problem with that? Well, being good doesn't get you into heaven. You have to be perfect. Well, there's the problem. How many of us are perfect? Yeah, I tell my wife a lot that I'm always right, but I don't think she believes it. I know she doesn't. She's shaking her head right now. But we can't be perfect. All we can have is the righteousness of Christ imputed into our lives by faith. His perfection. How do I know that? Because that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God only accepts perfection, and that only perfection we can have is when we come to Jesus, ask him to be Lord and Savior of our life, to forgive us of our sins, and he takes our sins and gives us his righteousness. That's it. Now some say, well, that's kind of narrow-minded to say Jesus is the only way. Well, if it's truth, then yeah, it's narrow, but it's the truth, right? Ray Stedman picks up on this. He said, many bristle with indignation at those words. When I quoted this verse, John 14:6, in a Bible study once, a woman said, that's terribly narrow-minded. I said, yes, it is. But that is the way truth is. I find the phone company to be terribly narrow-minded, too. If you want to call someone, you must dial the exact numbers in the exact order given. They will not allow any deviation. The IRS, terribly narrow-minded. They require you to state your income exactly. They don't accept a wild guess on your part. But I think you must interpret a verse like that, she said. How would you interpret it? I asked. She said she really didn't know. I said, well, if it's true, if Jesus means what he says, that there is only one way to God, that those that try to come another way will not end up with God who exists, but with some God of their own invention, and if there is only one way, how could he ever have said it any plainer than he does here? No one comes to the Father but by me. Exactly. See, there's no other way to interpret this. Jesus' words are very clear. Yeah, are they controversial? Absolutely. But they're very clear. So how do you negate them? How do you twist them? You can't. But some continue to do. You know, I've shared before about Tony Campoli's emergent church leader. He's taught at Christian colleges. And listen to a couple things that he said. And you tell me, is this what the Bible teaches? He wrote, I'm saying that there is no salvation apart from Jesus. Sounds great. Perfect, right? That's my evangelical mindset. However, I'm not convinced that Jesus only lives in Christians. Well, okay, you've got truth mixed with error. That sounds just like the devil, doesn't it? He also said Jesus is the only Savior, but not everyone who is being saved by him is aware that he is the one who is doing the saving. So what do you mean? Like Buddha? I believe in Buddha, but it's really Jesus is saving me, but I believe it's Buddha. Really? Isn't God's message to sinful humanity that he sees in each of us a divine nature of such worth that he sacrificed his own son so that our divine potentialities might be realized? The hymn writer who taught us to sing Amazing Grace was all too ready to call himself a wretch, forgetting our divinity and our over-identifying with our Freudian and humanity. Eric Fromm, one of the most popular psychoanalysts of our time, recognize the diabolical social consequences that can come about when a person loses sight of his or her own divinity. So in other words, we're God. And Jesus had to come because we are really great people and had to die for us gods. Well, why did we need God to die for us if we're God? I don't get it. And if we're really gods and we forgot that we're gods, how great of a God are we? I mean, come on. And here's the kicker, and it really fits into what Jesus said here. He's talking about how we get to heaven. Going to heaven is like going to Philadelphia. There are many ways. It doesn't make any difference how we go there. We all end up in the same place. How dangerous is that? It is very, very dangerous. You see, there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Not because I said so, but because Jesus said it. I don't want you to say, hey, Joe said. No, hey, Jesus said this. You see how simple that is? And yeah, is it narrow-minded? Yeah, but it's correct. Think about, I mean, would you get on a plane with a pilot that didn't want to follow directions? They have checklists. You know why they have checklists? So they don't miss anything. But I don't want to use the checklist. Forget about it. I'm free. I can do my own thing. I don't want to be so narrow-minded. I would never get on a plane with someone who thought, a pilot who thought like that, because that plane is headed for disaster. Same is true here. If Jesus isn't the way you're getting into heaven, then you're headed for disaster. Here we also see the six of the seven I am statements found in the Gospel of John. The first time that name of God is expressed, I am, is in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and it means the becoming one. God has become to us what we need, and the biggest need for our lives is salvation. You know, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save us. We didn't need condemnation. We're already condemned. Our sin has separated us from God. We needed a Savior, and God sent us a Savior. Not because we are so cute and adorable and perfect people. No, we're sinners, and that's why he sent the Savior. And so Jesus makes three very simple points. This is not complicated. You don't need to know Greek. It comes very clearly through in English. He is the way. Notice it doesn't say a way. He said, Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one of the many ways. No, I am the way. And I shared this with you before, but you can take Buddha out of Buddhism, Confucius out of Confucianism, Muhammad out of Islam, and each religion would remain. But you can't take Jesus out of Christianity because it's all based upon him. And that's what he's saying here. You're not getting to heaven except through me. It's not a debatable issue. Again, people may say I'm being intolerant or narrow-minded, but again, it's the truth. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7:13? He said, enter by the narrow gate. Why? Why? Why do I have to go through this gate? Because it's the only way. It's Jesus is the gate. What's the other option? Well, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The broad way. That's what Tony Campolo is doing. Hey, all roads lead to God. You can believe whatever you want. And, you know, if you believe in Buddha, Jesus is maybe the one saving you, but you can believe in anything. That's the broad way. And it leads to what? Destruction. Jesus Christ is the way. And, you know, what is the broad way? Human achievement. I've been a good enough person. I've done this. I've gone to church. I tithe. I do this. I do that. No. Jesus did it all. I've just received that free gift by faith. You know, Paul in 1 Timothy 2 said this regarding Jesus, being the one who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One mediator between God and man. There's no other mediator. I don't care who you want to put in there. He's the way, the only way. Also, Jesus is the truth. Think about it. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of these political commercials. They're hilarious. They make these guys sound like they're God Almighty, that they do everything perfect, that there is no wrong in them. I care for you. And then you read about what they actually do and what they actually say, and you go, well, this is contrary. In other words, they're not giving the truth. There's the problem. They're not giving the truth. Obviously, truth and error is out there. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to Jesus, who is the truth, who's not going to lie, or the devil who speaks lies? It's his natural language. So if you're listening to things that are contrary to what the scriptures are saying, guess who you're listening to? You're listening to the devil. You know, you think about the world that God entered into. It was a world filled with the devil's lies. And God sent into the world his son, who is the truth. You know, John 1:4 and 1:9. In him was life in Jesus, and the life was the light of men. There was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. In other words, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he came into this world to shine. And he's still shining today through the Holy Spirit who indwells us, through the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. So we don't have to walk in the darkness of the devil's lies. We can walk in the light of Christ, be guided by him. In fact, that's what Jesus said in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There's no reason for us to walk in darkness. We have God's light to guide us. We have his truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? All the lies that are out there. And I think with social media and all that stuff today, the devil is having a wonderful time throwing all kinds of truth and lies out there. How do you know what is true? Well, it just depends what you want to believe many times, what side you're taking. I hate to say it, I spend most of my time in the Word because I know it's truth. Do I find out what's going on in the world? I try to keep up on that. But there is so much information, you cannot assimilate it all into your life. There is no way. And there's people that spend hours and hours and hours and hours watching these videos or reading these articles. And it's like, yeah, but what are you doing with God's Word? Are you spending as much time in the Word of God than you are in social media? John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth, Jesus said. Your word is truth. I like that. I don't have to worry. There are some people who try to tear apart the Bible. Well, you know, you can't believe everything that's in the Bible. Well, if I can't believe everything that's in the Bible, then I can't believe anything that's in the Bible, okay? It's as simple as that. It's either true or it's a lie. And if it's not all truth, then I have to decide what is right and what is wrong. And aren't we seeing that today? Well, we see the church allowing so much sin to come into the church because they don't see this as truth. Well, that was for their time, but in our day, we can allow this. You see how that works? And David said in Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Lord, unite your heart to my heart. I want to do the things you want me to do. I want to be honoring you and walk in the truth. He is the truth, the only truth. And lastly, he's the life. And he's speaking of that abundant life that's only found in him and one day will be with him. Is there hardship in this life? Absolutely. Ever since sin entered this world in Genesis chapter 3, there's been hardship in the world. And it's a tough world out there today. We are in battles every day. You know, some people feel that, you know, the Christian life is like a cruise ship. Are you kidding me? It's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. We're in a war. And if you don't think we're in a war, talk to Tony about what was going on in the school systems and what he's trying to do to correct those problems. There is a battle for our children. Why? Because I'm an old guy and they can't change me, but they can change our children to believing their immorality, their wickedness. And that's exactly what they're doing. And we're trying to change that. We want our school systems to teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, and not all this immorality. But this life, wow, God has given to us. In fact, John uses the Greek word zoe for life, not just physical life, but spiritual life is really the focus. Make no mistake about it, Jesus is the founder or creator of all physical life, but he's the fountain from which all spiritual life flows. Dr. James M. Gray wrote a song years ago that said, who can mind the journey when the road leads home? Yeah, I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. Where are we going? We're going home. We're on a journey. And this is the worst it gets for us, and we're going to spend eternity with him. He's that life, the abundant life. So if you don't know where to go, Jesus is the way. If you're confused, if you don't know what to think, Jesus is the truth. And if you are feeling dead inside, if you don't think you could go on, Jesus is the life. Do you see how important what Jesus said is to our lives? And there's no neutral ground here. You believe it or reject it, but it doesn't change the truth of what he said. Think of it like this. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. I'm the way which thou must follow, the truth in which thou must believe, the life for which thou must hope. Absolutely. And who brings us to the Father? Jesus does. But apart from Jesus, you'll never see God the Father except in judgment. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. He died once. As he hung on the cross at Calvary and bore the sins of the world, as God's wrath was poured out upon him, That wrath that was due us, he took. And he did this to bring us to the Father, to restore that relationship that was broken by sin. In fact, the word bring was used of admission to an audience with a great king. I love that. That's what he's doing. And the just God, perfect without sin, suffered for us to bring us to the Father. That just says how much he loves us. So in these two verses, we've seen Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You're not going to see the Father unless you go through him. And again, you could accept it or reject it, but you can never say Jesus never said this. So he answered their question, but there's going to be another question. Show us the Father. And what's that about? Well, look at verse 8 here in John 14. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. You know, Thomas started out not knowing where Jesus was going. He didn't know the way. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to the Father except through him. And here Philip jumps in and says, Jesus, show us the Father. And this question is given because of what Jesus said in John 14:7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Well, show us the Father, Philip is saying. Make no mistake about it, the Jews had a great love for God the Father. I know Pastor Stu, he's Jewish, and we talk about this often. He said before he was even a Christian, he had such a love for God the Father. He didn't want to dishonor him. And I think the Jews did have this great love for the Father. But here's the thing. 3+ years, maybe 3.5 years they spent with Jesus, right? And they still didn't get it. And Jesus is teaching them really the basics of the faith. And so we're going to see as we read on, the Father is revealed. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I think that's fascinating. Jesus is saying, look, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, Jesus is not saying that they're the exact same person, not at all. What he's saying is, I'm an exact representation of the Father. In fact, in 1 John 1, verses 1 and 2, John wrote, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, that life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declared to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So when you look at the life of Jesus, you're seeing what God the Father is all about. He's representing God the Father, an exact representation. In fact, the Greek word manifested speaks of becoming visible, to make appear, to cause to be seen. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. Yeah, no one has seen the Father, but we see his representation in the life of Jesus. And so Jesus tells Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So again, you want to know what the Father is all about? Look at the life of Jesus. It's pretty simple. Revelation 1:5, he's the faithful witness of God. Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Paul's telling us here in Hebrews that he is the express image of his person, an exact likeness to the Father. In fact, the Greek word express image, character, speaks of an engraver, one who mints coins, a graving tool, a die, a stamp, a branding iron, a mark engraved, an impress, a stamp on coins and seals. The exact imprint of the Father. I like that. Colossians 2:9, for in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we need to understand that we're not talking about three gods, but one God manifested in three distinct persons. And Jesus is going to expound on this more, that if you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. But he's going to show us specifically his works are the evidence. Look at verse 10 here in John 14. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.